Just introduce my message. I love it. Love it.
I hope I didn't use your text.
Oh, no, you didn't use my text. No, sir. You would turn to the book of Nehemiah. It's been a while since you found it. You might go to the book of Psalms and go back a few and you'll find it. I have thoroughly enjoyed being here. Y'all were just so gracious and hospitable. I mean, I stand amazed. I'm glad that God has put our two fellowships this close together. It's amazing to see how God works in providence. How he brings us all together, his people, around him and around his gospel. And I can't thank you enough. Cannot thank you enough. Nehemiah chapter 1. I might spend a few minutes here in my introduction. The book of Nehemiah was written, remember, the children of Israel. God had told them through Isaiah and Jeremiah and the other prophets, because of their sin and because of their rebellion, that he would send them into captivity into Babylon for 70 years. He told them exactly how long they would stay, and they went there. And Solomon's temple, that glorious temple that Solomon built, and the walls around that city, they destroyed it. They made a mess out of it, and God allowed them to do it.
Yes, sir.
This place that was set apart, God said for his name, where the Ark of the Covenant, where God's glory manifested, where they worshiped God. Now look at it.
Yes.
In a mess, total confusion. Do you ever feel that way? But I tell you, God is a covenant God.
Yeah.
God remembers his covenants, and God brought the people back. And I don't know all the details. It's been a while since I actually looked at each book, but Ezra and Nehemiah talks about when they came back, and in the book of Haggai, I remember it said that they came back and they started the temple. You know what happened? Well, they just quit.
Yeah.
Then they started building their own houses, and he said, consider your ways. You say, well, it's not time to build God's house, but he said, is it time for you to build your house?
Yeah.
Now, that was what was going on. And let's not be too critical. That just describes us by nature, doesn't it? Like you said, it's work. Constant labor, and that's what we're going to see here. But Nehemiah, he was in the palace, in Shushan, the palace, and he could have said, well, shoot, I don't need to care about anybody else. I'm having it fine. He was the king's cupbearer. Now, what that meant is, before the king would drink anything, he would actually drink it to make sure there wasn't any poison or anything in it. Now, that's a pretty high office. Maybe somebody must have hated the king, but
yeah. But
that was his office.
Yeah.
So let's begin reading in verse chapter 1. We're going to get over to chapter 4. It said, the word of Nehemiah, the son of Hakili, and it came to pass, in the month Chizu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews, and that those that had escaped and were left of the captivity concerning Jerusalem. This man comes back from Jerusalem, and he says, how are those people in Jerusalem doing? His mind is upon them. And they said unto me, the remnant, and God has a remnant according to the election of grace, are left of the captivity there in the providence, are in great affliction and reproach. And the wall of Jerusalem is broke down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words, God help us to be like this, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed unto the God of heaven. And said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God, that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and that observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thy eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel. Now watch this, which we have sinned against thee. He didn't say they're getting what they deserve. He said, we've sinned. I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee and have not kept thy commandments nor the statutes, nor the commandments which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the words which thou commandest thy servant Moses. He said, if you transgress, I will scatter you among the nations. God said, this is what I'll do. But if you turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast into the uttermost parts of heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them to the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants, and thy people whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thee, thy servant, this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. He's concerned about those Jews in Jerusalem. But he's in a situation where he just can't up and leave. God has to give him favor with the king. And in chapter 2, the king comes in and Nehemiah's sad. And the king's upset because he thinks, well, maybe something's wrong. Maybe he has drunk something poisonous. He don't know. And then Nehemiah shared with him his burden. And he gave Nehemiah permission. And he actually wrote letters to him, giving him the right to do this. And when Nehemiah comes to Jerusalem, he doesn't tell anybody what he's doing. He goes out and it says at night, and he surveys. You know, Nehemiah hadn't been there, but he goes out, and you know, he probably heard all these tales of how bad this looks, and he goes, and it probably was indescribable. Weeds growing everywhere, things just burnt and charred and ashes everywhere. This is what he sees. Can you imagine seeing this? Don't you look at verse 10 of chapter 2. When Sanballat and Hobiah and the Hamorite and Tobiah the servant of the Amorite heard it, when they heard that Nehemiah was come, it grieved them exceedingly, and there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. Now you can see a picture here of Christ who left the palace to come for the welfare of his people. Yes. But what I want you to see is before Nehemiah came, shoot, everything was fine. They didn't care. They could have cared less. But when somebody came and somebody was concerned, that's when it stirred up a hornet's nest. Right. That's when it made them mad. Right. And it's not changed today. It's like you was preaching on the free will of men. We fight this every day, and it's a constant battle. We have the gospel this morning because somebody fought the fight.
Yeah.
Somebody, whether it's Henry Mahan or whoever it was, somebody preached the gospel to you. Right. Paul said it was committed to my trust.
Right. Yes, sir.
We have a responsibility to our generation.
Yes, we do. Yes,
that's exactly right.
Yes, we do.
That's exactly right. And that's what Nehemiah did.
Yes.
Now go to chapter 4. Thank you. We just begin at verse 1. I think it just illustrates so many things. So Nehemiah comes, and if you want to call it revival, it was a revival. He stirred these people up to say, we need to rebuild this wall. This is imperative that we rebuild this. Imperative. And it said, it came to pass that when Sanballat, as we just read in chapter 2, heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. Now, I want you to see how they work. They'll just begin to mock them, just saying, oh, there's nothing to it. And it made them what? It made him wroth. It made him angry. You want to see them, like you was talking about, said, if what you preach is the truth, I'm lost. It stirs men up.
Yes, it does.
Angers them.
That's right.
Let me remind you, we wrestle not against flesh and blood.
Amen.
but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, and that's Christ, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, what are you supposed to do? Stand, therefore. Stand, therefore. Putting on the whole armor of God. He spake, this infidel, this heathen, he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify? And watch the things that he says. Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in the day? Now watch this. Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? You know what they're going to do? They're going to revive.
Yes, that's right.
The stones. He did not go out and make new stones.
No, that's right.
Those stones that were in that wall, he revives them. That's life.
That's life.
Amen.
And they knew what they were going to do. They said, we're just going to stop it. But they're going to revive the stones. And watch this. Out of the heaps of the rubbish. Where are those stones at? Under a bunch of rubbish. That's exactly right. Which are burned. And then he said, Tobiah the Amorite was by him. And he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall break down their stone wall. And I want to read you this. Run across this morning, and it makes reference to this. He's talking about if a fox just goes up on it, said he'll break it down. The foxes are fast, they're swift, and they come out at night. That's a fox. He in Song of Solomon, it says, take heed to the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. Isn't that what it says?
Yeah.
A sly, cunning, unclean fox. Here's what he said in Ezekiel 13, beginning in verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy, and say thou unto them that prophesy out of their heart, hear ye the word of the Lord. O Israel, thy prophets are like the foxes in the desert.
Yeah.
When Jeremiah preached and Isaiah preached and all those other prophets preached, they were false prophets that were preaching, and they said they were doing it in the name of God.
Yeah.
Read on. You've not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedges for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. They have seen vanity and lying divination, saying, the Lord saith, and the Lord hath not sent them. And they have made others to hope that they would confirm the word. Have you not seen a vain vision? And have you not spoken a lying divination, whereof you say, the Lord saith it? Howbeit, I have not spoken. Therefore, thus saith God, the Lord God, because you have spoken vanity and seen lies, therefore, behold, I am against you, saith the Lord God, and my hand shall be upon that prophets, the prophets that see vanity. They're like foxes. Now read on. And mine hand shall be upon the prophets that see vanity and that divine lies. They shall not be in the assembly of my people, neither shall they be written in the writing of the house of Israel, neither shall they enter into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Because they have seduced my people, seduced them, saying, peace, peace, where there is no peace. You know what they were saying? Don't listen to Jeremiah.
Right, that's what they were saying.
You see these walls, they'll never be torn down.
That's what they were saying.
That's what he's saying. And that's what we hear today.
Yeah.
Peace, it's all right. God loves everybody.
Yeah, that's what they do. Yeah.
Peace, peace, where there is no peace.
Yes.
Peace. Now, let me read on. Verse 10. Because they have seduced my people, saying peace, and there was no peace, and one built up a wall, and lo, others dotted it with untempered mortar.
Yeah.
It's wrongly mixed. It's untempered mortar. I saw a thing on TV the other day. It was showing about over in Israel. You know, I think the only wall that's still standing from when Titus came in is that Wailing Wall. And he said because he just couldn't do anything with it, but the rest of the walls he tore down. And it showed how they would make bricks out of clay. And they'd build them bricks, and they'd take them out there and put them in the sun, and they'd bake them. Then they, every year they had to go back and cover them bricks because they're made out of clay. And what they do, they just decay. And they cover them with mortar. Untempered mortar. That's religion today. And it shall, and what about their wall? It shall fall. There shall be an overflowing shower, and ye, O inhabitants, O great hailstone, shall fall, and a stormy wind shall rend. Lo, when the wall is fallen, shall it not be said unto you, where is the daubing wherewith you daubed it? It wouldn't stand. And like you said, their foundation won't stand. It's built on the sand. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will even rend it with a stormy wind in my fury, and there shall be an overflowing shower in mine anger, and great hailstones in my fury to consume it. They said it won't never fall. Well, when it did fall, they said if a fox goes up on what you build, it'll come down. They say your wall's just like our wall. Uh-huh. But it's not.
It's not. Amen.
They don't understand.
Yeah.
But this is what he's saying. He says, God said, Ezekiel 13, verse 14, so will I break down the wall that you have daubed with untempered mortar, and bring it down to the ground, so that the foundation thereof shall be discovered. God will discover a man's foundation.
There you go. There you go.
That's it. The foundation of a house in places I've seen. Now, North Carolina, you had to have building inspections. That means before you could do anything, you dug the foundation, they come out and inspected it. Well, what if you bought that house and it never been inspected? You don't know what's underground.
Right.
You're just taking somebody's word for it. That's right. And God exposes their foundation.
Yes, he does.
And it's founded on the sand.
Exactly.
That's it. God says, I will discover it. I will expose it.
Yes.
And it shall fall. And you shall be consumed in the midst thereof. And you shall know that I am God. That I am the Lord. That I am Jehovah. You see these walls? I brought them down. And these same walls that I bring down, I can raise them back
Amen.
Up.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
And that's what we're going to see here. Verse 4. Nehemiah prays, hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So that seems pretty rough.
Yeah.
Explain that. I can't.
Right.
But that's how he prayed.
Right. That's how he prayed.
David said, I hate them with perfect hatred.
That's what
he said. I use this a lot, but that girl right there, I love her, and she knows how much I love her. And you can talk about me all day long. You could spit in my face, but don't you dare speak anything against her.
Yeah.
Like you said, that dog will bark for its master.
Yeah. Yeah.
God will expose it, and he will. He will. I think we take lightly the privilege to pray.
Yes, we do. Yeah.
We don't know how to pray like we should. The Spirit of God prays for us with groanings which can't even be uttered. It's not the length of words. It's not the way you say the words. It's the heart. Go back and read that little prayer that Elijah prayed on Mount Carmel. He said that these people may know that you're God and the fire fell. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed that it wouldn't rain. It didn't rain. He said, he must have been some superhuman. No, he was a man of like passions,
right,
just like you are.
Yeah.
And he prayed and it didn't rain. You know when it rained again when he prayed?
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
That's right. That's the truth.
Yeah. That's it.
Our God's able.
Yeah.
We're no match for our enemies. God, we ain't no match.
No, we don't.
But God, you defend your name.
Yes.
Verse 6, so built we the wall. And all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof. Why? For the people had a mind to work. They had a mind to work.
Yes.
God give us a mind
yes.
to work.
Amen.
You know what talks about a preacher? He said, if many men desire the office of a bishop, he desires a good work.
Good work, yeah.
And it's work.
Yeah.
They'd probably come by and say, "Mere Brewster, you," and they'd say, "We got your regular clothes on." Said, "You got your working clothes." Well, he's got his suit on, he's got his working clothes on.
Sure. Sure, brother.
But all these people, it wasn't just Nehemiah, all of them had a mind to work.
Yes.
Verse 7, but it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and Arabians and the Amorites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then were they very wroth. In verse 8, and conspired all them together and to fight against Jerusalem. The Pharisees and the Sadducees just could not get along.
Yeah.
But when it come to uniting against our Lord, they all conspired against Him. It doesn't matter where it's Jehovah's Witnesses, the Methodists, it don't care who they are. They will conspire together against free grace.
Right.
And it's against our Christ. And that's what we see here. They're all coming together. John said it's the spirit of Antichrist. That's what it is.
That's right.
It's not something that's down the road. He said it's already here. Anti is against Christ. What did they want to do? They said, "We're going to stop the wall." The next verse says that they would, what? Hinder it. What's their objective? To hinder God's work. Now you remember that.
Amen.
As I thought about that, I remember when I spoke down here about when Abraham sent for Isaac a bride.
Yeah.
And the servant, you know, he went to their house and come to Rebekah's, and they, you know what he said? "Do not hinder me.
Amen.
This is the errand I've come for.
Right.
Don't you stop me.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to bring her to meet Isaac."
Right.
And that's what we're doing.
Yes,
but Satan and everything will do everything in his power to hinder God's work. You remember it. What God has given you here is precious.
Yes, it is.
Precious.
Yes.
Precious. Verse 9. "Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God, and set a watchman against them day and night because of them." I want you to see something. "And Judah said," even that tribe, that lion tribe, Judah, the line of the tribe of Judah. Then Judah said, "The strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed." Oh, it's just too hard. I didn't realize it's going to be that much work. Now, I want you to see this. Before they could build anything, they had to clean up the mess.
Right.
It ain't too bad to come in after all the mess is gone and then try to start building. But somebody has to clean up the mess. I was thinking, me and Sandy, she was talking the other day, we've been moving for about a year. But I remember one day when we moved from the first place, and it was in last July. And I tell you, one day we was just pretty low. Just wore slap out. It's the stuff sitting everywhere. It was a mess. A mess. And somebody come by. They said, "Do you need a little help?" And I thought, surely they ain't sincere. And I tried to discourage them. And then they said, "No, we mean it."
Yeah.
Best thing that ever happened.
That's right.
Really? I'm telling you the truth. Blessed, didn't it, Sandy?
Yeah.
She got in there with the house, and Sandy started setting stuff up. And it was amazing. And he started helping me. And 2 or 3 days, we had everything moved. And I was just tickled to death. He showed himself friendly.
Yeah.
He encouraged me.
Yeah.
Because there'll be people say, it's just too hard.
Yeah.
And you know what else they said?
Yeah.
There's much rubbish.
That's right.
Man, I didn't realize there's this much. You know, that
as we work and as we labor and as we preach, you know what we deal with? We deal with rubbish.
We deal with a lot of rubbish.
You have rubbish. You have traditions and things in your mind. We all do. Isn't it? Not only outwardly, but inwardly. You say, well, it's just too much rubbish. Let's just quit. See how the enemy will work? And all they want to do is just hinder. He'll just whisper in your ear, is it really worth it? Is it really worth that drive? Is it really worth that sacrifice? Have you ever heard that? Boy, I have. Judah said the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there's much rubbish overworked so that we're not able to build the wall. And our adversary said, they won't know, neither see till we come in, watch this, in the midst among them, and we'll slay them, and we will cause the work to cease. And that's what they want to do. They want to stop the work to cease. And they'll do anything in their power. As I thought about that, I thought about the Apostle Paul. He preached, and he's getting ready to leave those in Ephesus in Acts 20. And he said, I don't know the things which will befall me in Jerusalem. I don't know if I'll be killed or not. He said, I really don't know. But you know what he said? None of these things move me.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I may finish my course with joy. Man, that's commitment. But you know what else he said to those people? To that church. He's getting ready to leave them. He said, you may never see me again. He said, I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, he said, I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves entering in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after themselves. Yes, it can happen.
It can happen.
Yes, sir. Yes, it can.
That's serious, isn't it?
Yes, it's serious, sir.
And cause the work to cease. I've heard of so many places in the past where the gospel was faithfully preached. I mean, I think where Spurgeon was at, there was thousands of people came to that Metropolitan Tabernacle. Where's it at today?
Right.
Verse 12, and it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all places which you shall return unto us, they shall be upon you. Therefore I said, in the lower places behind the wall and on the higher places, I set the people after, watch this, after their families, and with their sword and their spear and with their bow. And I looked and rose up and said to the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them, remember the Lord. And every time we meet, that's why it's been such a blessing this weekend. It ain't because me and you are nothing.
That's right.
It's just remembering him.
Yeah.
That's the comfort.
Yes.
Don't think about how much trash they are, how much rubbish they are, or how hard the battle is. You remember him.
Yes.
Who won the battle.
Amen.
It's won. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us.
Yes.
Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect?
Yes.
This is God's work.
Amen.
But he uses individuals.
He does.
He has ordained means. It pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them which believe.
Right.
And God uses the preaching of the gospel to encourage his sheep.
Yes.
He said, what? Feed my sheep.
Amen.
Feed the flock of God which I have purchased with my own blood. You know, it talks about hirelings. It says, when the wolf comes, the hireling flees because he is a hireling. You know why he's a hireling? He's paid to watch the sheep.
Right.
And when he sees a wolf or a bear coming, he said, I'm not willing to risk my life for them stinking sheep. But David, being the good shepherd, he said, when the lion and the bear came, he said, I took that lamb out of his mouth. And you know what happened when he took that lamb out of his mouth? That lion and that bear turned on him. And he said, God delivered me out of the paw of the lion and the bear.
Amen.
Our great shepherd protects his sheep.
Yes, he does.
And God said, I will give you shepherds according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and with understanding. That's how God protects you.
Right.
You know what they'll do? They'll beat off every lion.
Yeah.
They'll beat off every bear. They'll say, we ain't putting up with that mess around here. You can take that somewhere else. We ain't putting up with it. And it ain't just him, anybody else. We ain't standing for it.
Yeah. Right.
When our Lord said, I didn't come to bring peace but a sword.
Yes.
When it comes to Christ and the gospel, they're going to be a fuss.
Right.
That's,
right.
That's exactly right. There's a line drawn in the sand. That's
right.
If me and my hat needed to just said, well, it's just folded up.
Sure.
Said, be not afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible. And watch this, and fight. The first thing he mentions, fight for your brethren.
Yes.
Amen.
Before he talks about your sons and your daughters and your wife, you fight for your brethren.
There you go.
For your brethren. In Ephesians 6, I've been looking at that. I thought about looking at that, but we were looking at this morning, but he talked about, you know, we're talking about putting on the whole armor of God. He talks about the breastplate of righteousness and the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith. You know what the last thing he said? Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And he said, and for me. That God may give me utterance, that I may open my mouth boldly as I ought to speak. You pray for your preacher. Pray for the brethren.
Yes.
For your sons and your daughters. Your wives and your houses. Pray God save every one of my children.
Yeah.
Every one of them.
Yeah.
Every one of them. That's fighting for your family.
Yeah.
I want my children to hear the gospel.
Yeah.
I'm thankful that where I left, God didn't leave that place, that he brought another man there who still preaches the gospel. You know why? I've got a daughter that goes there. I've got a granddaughter.
There you go. There you go.
We're not in competition against anybody.
No.
Exactly. No. Verse 15, it came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, God revealed it all, didn't he? They think they've got it hid. We're going to stop this. No, they ain't. Their counsel won't stand, but his counsel will.
Amen.
He does according to his will.
Yes. That's it.
And he will even use the enemy to motivate us.
Exactly right.
To build the wall.
Right, Mike.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
You back me in a corner. You get me mad enough. That's exactly right. I ain't gonna stand there and just take it.
That's right.
You know what David said? David came up there that day, and that big giant, he's walking out there. He'd been doing this for 40 days. Defying the armies of the living God. And everybody's scared to death.
Yeah.
Scared to death. And David comes, he just happens to come up that day, just checking on his brethren. And he sees this giant come out, and David says, who does he think he is?
Yeah.
He's defying the army of the living God. And you know what he said? Is there not a cause?
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah.
You know what he said? I'll go take him on.
Yeah. That's right.
They tried to put Saul's armor on. He said, I've not proved this. And he took a sling and a stone. And he hit him. And he not only hit him, he took his own sword. David didn't have a sword, and he got on him, and he cut his head off.
Right.
You notice that it said when that giant fell, he didn't fall backwards. He fell on his face.
Right.
He had to bow.
Right.
And David come up out of that valley. He was dragging the sword, and he had that giant's head in his hand.
Yeah.
Our David's won the battle.
Yes, he is. There you go.
We stand so afraid.
Yes, we do.
But our Lord's won the battle.
He's the one. Yeah. There you go.
It came to pass when our enemy heard it that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught. And I want you to see this. And we returned all of us to the wall. So that makes me think they must have left.
Yep.
I want you to see something in the next few verses. Here's how sly he is. If he can get you to all you're doing is fighting, you're not going to do any building.
There you go.
That's right.
That's right. That's
if you're
right.
Just trying to defend yourself and ward them off,
right.
You can't build anything.
That's right.
He's won half the battle. Returned all of us to the wall, every one unto his work.
Amen.
You say, preacher, I can't preach. I can't do this. I can't do that. Can you sweep the floor?
Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I've used this illustration many times. I used to have an older gentleman in my church. He had emphysema for years, and he there wasn't much he could do. But while he was able, and we didn't have much grass, very little grass there beside the church. It wasn't much bigger than this room. But it was really hard to get somebody to mow that grass. But he would go down there, because he knew I was mowing it. He would beat me down there to mow that grass. And I knew how his health was, and I said, Jay, you're not mowing that grass. He said, preacher, don't take that from me. I said, you go ahead and mow it. Somebody had moved.
Yeah.
You say it's not important. Oh, yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
Still blesses my heart. But everyone returned to his work.
Yes.
Can you imagine what that man would feel? Somebody come up and say, preacher, is there anything I can do? Is there anything I can do? Well, that's encouraging.
Yes, it
is. Yes, His work. And our Lord said, whatsoever you lay your hand to do, do it with all your might.
Yeah. Yeah.
Verse 16, and it came to pass from that time forth that half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spear and the shield and the bow and the habergeon, and the rulers were behind all the house of Israel. They which builded on the wall, and they which bear burdens, and those which laden every one of them with his one of his hand wrought in the work, and with the other he held a weapon. They'd trade off.
Yeah.
Wasn't it Spurgeon? Was it a newsletter that he had called The Sword and the Trowel? Wasn't that it?
Yeah.
That's where he gets it from, right here.
Yes, right.
He has a sword, and he has a trowel. A trowel's what you put mortar with, and it's not untempered mortar.
That's right.
For the builders, everyone had his sword girded by his side, and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. And I said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, don't you see this? The work is great and large. And we are separated upon the wall, one far from the other. The work is large.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
There's a work to be done in Cottageville. There's a work to be done in Indiana. There's a work to be done here.
Right.
And it's large. It's amazing. Look around. People are perishing all around you.
Yes.
Verse 20, in what place therefore you hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye hither unto us, and our God shall fight for us.
Yeah.
There'd be one be on this part of the wall, and one be on that part of the wall. That just pictures us.
Yeah.
He's over here, you're over there, and I'm right here. He says, when you hear the trumpet sound, and it don't give an uncertain sound, it gives a distinct, clear sound. You know what that is? That's just the gospel.
That's the gospel.
And we all gather around that
Amen.
Gospel. Just like you said, it's something from my church, and Paul Mahan's church and others that was here yesterday.
Yes.
You know what they was wanting to hear? Sound of the trumpet.
Sound of the trumpet.
And you know what that trumpet said? Our God will fight for us.
Amen.
When you go back tomorrow, you go back to work. Reminds me of our Lord. You know, he was up on the mountain, Transfiguration, with Peter, James, and John. And Peter said, boy, it's good for us to be here.
Yeah,
we all want to stay right there.
Yeah, we do.
We do. But when he come down off that mountain, remember that man, he brought his son to the disciples, and they weren't able to cast that demon out. He was in that valley. That's where the work's done.
That's where the work's at.
Yeah. Our God shall fight for us. So we labored in the work. And half of them held the spear from the rising of the morning until the stars appeared. Likewise, at that same time, said I unto the people, let every one with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night they may be a guard to us and labor on the day. So neither I nor my brethren, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard which followed me, neither none of us put off our clothes, saying that every one of them put off for washing. That's just saying they was concerned about one thing. Building that wall. And he's still building it. Our Lord never does anything halfway.
Right.
Amen.
He that has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ Jesus.
Amen.
I'll say this in close. They was where I'm at. They was without a pastor for about 2 years. And they really got low. They really did. They said, well, what are we going to do? Some said, well, why don't you just pack up your bags and go somewhere else? You know, you can get a job somewhere. And some of them could have done that. But there's a couple of women, they just come with themselves. Live about 30 minutes away. And some said, why don't you move it to another place? That ain't what God meant. That work's still there because that's his work.
Right.
It's his battle.
Yeah.
And we are scattered on the wall. Paul, I'm so glad you come to our place last October.
Yeah.
You can listen to a tape, but it's not the same as being
right.
There.
It ain't the same. Right.
I pray God would encourage your heart. And give us all a mind, a heart to work.
Yes.
That we wouldn't count our life dear unto ourselves. You know what Paul said? I endure all things for the elect's sake.
Yeah.
God help us to do that.
Yes. Amen.